Hello, me. My name is Brandon. I am the youth pastor here, and I have the privilege this morning of sharing from the Word of God with you. But before we come and read the Word of God together, do you guys ever have just those weeks where a bunch happens all at the same time? That's been the past few weeks for me. We had winter camp a couple weeks ago. I missed two Sundays in a row. I don't think I've missed two Sundays of church in a row in my entire life. But we had the winter retreat with the youth kids. My wife and I got to go to a marriage conference called A Weekend to Remember, which if you've never gone, highly encouraged. We had all kinds of stuff we were doing in some schools this week that I'll get to tell you about here as we look at God's Word. And then on Friday night, I was doing the worm, okay, right there, right where those chairs are. The chairs weren't there. And I dislocated my knee. And that's a normal thing, not for most people, but I've done it before, but usually it hurts like crazy for, a few weeks. And my first thought was, man, the camera people are going to be so excited because they don't have to follow me around the stage. Well, bummer for you guys, camera people. My knee's feeling better. And so can we give it up for all of our tech people, the sound people, the camera people? You can't see them. But there is just an army of people that serve us every Sunday. And especially if you're with us online, we're glad you're here. Good luck, camera people, for those people online. But there are times in our lives where we just have those weeks where a lot is happening all at once. And sometimes during those weeks, we kind of feel like we're the only person in the world that's ever gone through those types of weeks. But we have from Scripture just an account historically of a group of people that went through a lot in a short period of time. And we're about to look, if you want to start turning to Acts chapter 4, there was a man named Luke who was a physician who wanted to write an orderly account of all that God had done in the early church. And he was writing to a Roman official named Theophilus. And as he's writing this orderly account, he's just describing the things that they went through. This is historical. These things really happened. This is what we would call historical narrative is the genre. And we do need to be careful anytime we go to historical narrative. Just because someone did something in the early church doesn't mean it's prescribed for Christians to always do that thing. And so we do need to be careful saying, oh, well, they did this, therefore we should do this. However, there's also a lot that we can learn from how they responded to situations and how they interacted and dealt with some of these things. In the case of the early church, I mean, just imagine, you're just going into Jerusalem as the disciples with Jesus, and you just think you're going to have a weekend of celebration for the Passover. Well, then all of a sudden, all the events of the crucifixion take place, and Jesus gets arrested and beaten, put on trial, crucified. Well, then plot twist, he rose again, so that's crazy. And then he's just appearing to over 500 people over the course of the next couple weeks, and then he ascends into heaven. So you talk about just a lot of crazy stuff going on in a short period of time. But then after he ascends into heaven, he says, all right, guys, go wait in Jerusalem until you receive the gift of the Spirit. Didn't actually tell them what that would look like. And they're just kind of waiting, right? So they have this season of like 11 days where they're just like chilling in Jerusalem. Could you imagine like just sitting there in silence for 11 days, not knowing what's coming next? But then it came. And when it came, the book of Acts describes what we call the day of Pentecost, where what seemed to be tongues of fire descended upon the disciples. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then Peter went out and was able to preach to thousands of people from all over the world. And 3,000 people got saved that day. And they continued day after day to preach the good news of Jesus Christ in the temple. Well, fast forward, and we don't know how long, but probably within the same time span of a couple weeks of all this craziness, as they're walking into the temple one day, there's a man who sits outside of the temple who requests money, and they heal him. And when they heal him, he goes around and tells everyone he knows that he's been healed. And I understand that because just the other day, I was doing the worm right here and dislocated my knee, and now I'm walking, so I get it. But here's this man who gets healed from being paralyzed, tells everybody, it brings a crowd together, and Peter, in the name of Jesus, proclaims that that is where the healing came from, was because of the work and actions of Jesus Christ. Well, there were people there that did not like that Peter was preaching in the name of Jesus. So they arrest Peter and John, throw them in prison overnight, and the next day put them on trial. And that's where we're going to read from Luke's account in the book of Acts, how they respond to these challenges that they're facing. And so Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 18, and I'm going to ask you if you're able to stand in honor of the Lord and his holy word. And we're going to read Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 18 together. So they, being the leaders that have them on trial, called and commanded them, Peter and John, not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old of whom this miracle of healing had been performed. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they had heard that, they raised their voice to God and with one accord said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. The Lord adds his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. So I mentioned it was a really long week this week in particular. Because after all those other things that were already mentioned, I have the privilege of right now serving in a spot where I get to support several Christian clubs that are in schools. And one thing that's amazing about these Christian clubs in these schools is that they get to go into their schools, these students, and boldly proclaim the gospel and do some amazing, incredible things. Well, one of the things that we see in this passage at the very, very beginning is a clear and present reality that there is a need for boldness. So Peter and John are already seeming bold, right? We've already heard that they preached to thousands of people, and 3,000 souls got saved. Well, then they preached again in the name of Jesus after this miracle, and then they get arrested. But there's still this recognition that there is a need for boldness, because wherever the gospel is working, the enemy will try to stand against it. So you may not know this, but actually, according to different polling agencies, there are more young people under the age of 25 that are coming to faith in Jesus Christ than any other time in American history. How incredible is that? That you, right now, as you sit in this chair, you are experiencing what history may refer back to as another great awakening. It is unbelievable how the Spirit is working. And as God is working in this incredible way, there is opposition that is present. In the case of Peter and John, verse 18, if you'll look with me again. So they called them and commanded them not to speak or at all teach in the name of Jesus. Here you have these individuals that are proclaiming that Jesus is the Christ and that by him you are able to be saved. And they don't like that. They like their power. They like their authority. They like their comfort of where they're ruling in Jerusalem. And as they are trying to stand against the gospel, there is a clear and present need for boldness. But that need for boldness didn't just exist 2,000 years ago. That need for boldness exists today. And actually, that need for boldness exists in your life. We all have and know people that don't know Jesus. We have coworkers and family members, friends, people that we meet that don't know the hope and life that they're able to get in Jesus Christ. And so, with boldness, we have students that go forward and they see the need. About a year ago, one of our students, Mackenzie, who's here this morning, saw the need, and God placed on her heart a heart to reach Pine Creek for the gospel. And now Pine Creek has a history of hating what God is doing. When my wife was in Pine Creek, she graduated in 2013. There was a young man who wanted to start a prayer club during free time. Just during lunch, he wanted people to gather and pray. And when the school wouldn't let him, he actually ended up suing and won, which was an obvious win in our system of government. Praise the Lord for that freedom. Instead of submitting to the court order, Pine Creek canceled the free time for all students. That is the opposition that existed then, and that heart continues all the way to today. And so as McKinsey tried to step forward in boldness to do this thing, there was opposition and hindrance every step of the way. But instead of getting discouraged, McKinsey continued to move forward. And whether it be promises that were not fulfilled by administration, whether it be lack of communication, whether it being told no to certain things that she legally has the right to do, McKinsey, with boldness and grace, continued to step forward in the face of the need of that opposition, where there was a clear and pressing attack against what God had commanded these students to do. And it wasn't just Pine Creek. The more we've interacted with some of these clubs, weirdly, a lot of D20 is actively standing against some of what God is doing in these clubs. You have not only Pine Creek, but TCA and Liberty High School are all drastically standing against these Christian clubs and being opposing them in ways that are pretty dramatic. At Liberty High School, just recently, one of the teachers that was the sponsor for the club was fired because he is sponsoring a Christian club. And another one of the teachers had to step down from sponsoring because they lied and accused him of things that he didn't do in order to prevent the Christian club from meeting. And one of my students who's at Liberty came to me a couple weeks ago and was like, yeah, we were meeting outside in the grass because the school's not letting us meet for club inside. At TCA, again, there were these hindrances that would try to prevent it. Thomas McLaren, downtown, our club leader, goes to our church for Thomas McLaren. Hi, Jake. They've received incredible opposition where they're not even able to do their outreach in their school. They have to do it by a church that's there. And so as there is this clear and present need and this opposition that is coming, there is this declaration, you may not speak the name of Jesus here. Now, in a lot of ways, our students are blessed. We are in a system where very much so in our government, the law is on their side. very unashamedly and very strongly. So much so that District 20, the school board, recently had an election where overwhelmingly people who are favorable to basic rights were elected. And they've been standing with our students against these school administrators. Beyond that, federal people have gotten involved. And actually, D20 received a letter from the federal government to give them the ability to go against the administrators at Liberty. And so there are people who are standing with our students, but they still are going into the face of this opposition day after day, trying to do this thing that God felt like they felt that God had called them to do. And there is opposition that is present. There is a need for boldness. And you see Peter and John here, as there's this need of boldness, they had options. Because here's easily how it could have gone. They could have said, all right, you guys are not allowed to preach in the name of Jesus anymore. You can't do that. And they easily could have been like, all right, you're right. We'll just go back to fishing. We'll be quiet now. Thank you. And walk away. They easily could have gone back and responded in that way, but that's not at all how they responded. In the face of the need of boldness, verse 19, but Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old of whom this miracle of healing had been performed. They easily could have been, all right, okay, and quieted down, but they didn't. Even in the face of that, in the direct face of the need of boldness, they boldly responded, we have no choice but to speak of the things that we have seen and heard. My friends, in every single one of these schools, the students have stood boldly against this opposition, so much so that this week, Thomas McLaren, TCA, and Pine Creek all had their outreaches this past week, which I'll be able to share more about that in a little bit, where they got to share the gospel with hundreds of their peers. But we found out on Wednesday, that Liberty, that has just been so opposed to everything, on Wednesday they approved for outreach to be held at lunch at Liberty this week. So be praying for Liberty and those that will hear the gospel this week as they stand in the face of that, because all of our students, and there were times where the discouragement was great, where it felt like they were standing alone, where it felt like they were being bullied, and in many cases they have been, but in the need, in the face of that, they have continued to stand boldly in the face of the gospel and declaring, we would rather speak truth because this is what God has told us to do. You see, and it's amazing how God works in some of these things to bring people to this place. Now, it was not because a paralyzed man was healed that any of these students are boldly proclaiming the gospel. However, it is because of the way that the Holy Spirit miraculously worked in a different situation that I think is really, really powerful. You see, there's a man named Andres Kusser. We call him Andy. And Andy grew up a missionary kid in Austria. Actually went to school with Danny, one of our, Leah is one of our youth leaders. Her husband went to school with Andy in Austria. So that's, you know, you talk about just how the Holy Spirit weaves things together. Well, Andy showed up in our town after a series of accidents. He broke his back, ended up battling an addiction to painkillers. And God having brought him out of that, he was then called to Colorado Springs, where he came and he works for an organization called Decision Point. And there's a lot of incredible organizations that help equip students to do these types of things in their school. But I've been blessed to be able to work with this in particular organization, and specifically my now friend Andy. But when Andy first showed up in our city, I couldn't stand him. He irritated me. I thought he was arrogant. I thought it was just a sales pitch of whatever he was trying to do. And here's the thing. I don't know why I didn't like him. For those of you that know me, I'm usually really, like, I'm easy to get along with. I'm usually friends with most everybody. And I just didn't like this guy. Well, then fast forward to last year's winter camp. So this was just about a year ago. Our speaker that we were supposed to have backed out 3 weeks before we were supposed to go. And I can't tell you why. Outside of this was the moving of the Holy Spirit. God had placed it on my heart to ask Andy. Which is crazy because I didn't even like him. So I invite Andy to come speak at this winter camp, where he came, and not only did he faithfully share the gospel with our students, and I know we even had a student who received Christ that week at winter camp. How amazing is that? But we had students like Mackenzie, like Jake, and like many others whose stories, I'm not going to be able to share all the stories because there's so many, who felt that call to impact their schools in this way. But in particular, Mackenzie just took that call and ran with it. And in that, decided to, in standing against these things, to continue to move forward faithfully with what God had called her to do, and using Andy to do that. Well, now we have a situation where we have like 8 or 9 schools just with our students' involvement that have clubs in their schools, just as they have felt called and led and equipped by the Holy Spirit to go and do these things. And I'm blessed where I just get to kind of watch them. I get to encourage them, come alongside of them, and share their story. But it is them who is bold in this thing. But it's not just this recognition of the need of boldness. They recognize the need. They recognize the need for the gospel that was in their schools. They recognize the opposition that was present, and they needed to be bold in the face of the opposition. But now they responded in the book of Acts. They responded in prayer. So not only do they recognize the need for boldness, but then they take a step back and they pray for boldness. Look with me at verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they had heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness we may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your servant Jesus." You see, they received these threats, and yes, they responded boldly to the need for there to be boldness. They were not alone. My friends, if you are in a situation where you have the need to be bold, maybe it's a boss that doesn't like the fact that you're a Christian, like these teachers at Liberty. Maybe it's a family. Maybe in your own family, there's an opposition to the gospel. If you remember when I said a minute ago, there are unbelievable numbers of young people becoming Christians. Well, these are not from Christian homes, and their families are vehemently standing against what God is doing in their lives. We have a student in our youth group, Faithfully Comes, got saved almost a year ago, whose mom is so antagonistically opposed to the gospel. She's just praying that she can turn 18 faster so she can start being with us on Sunday mornings, because she's not allowed to come on Sunday mornings. But her mom lets her come on Wednesdays because she thinks we just hang out. And I'm not going to correct her. And so you may be family. Some of you have that story. But there is somewhere in your life where there is a need for boldness, and you are not alone in that, because we can pray for that boldness. Even Peter and John, they come together with the church and they recognize these things. And I want to point something out to you. This is the first time we really see a prayer response to the church after Jesus ascended to what should we do in the face of opposition. And I'm going to read this again, and I want you to see if you notice what they do. "Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants that with all a hedge of protection that we may be protected. God, we pray that we would have a freedom of religion to be able to say whatever we want. God, we pray that there wouldn't be anyone who stands against us, and this would be easy." They never, Scripture never prays against persecution or for protection in persecution. What is prayed for is the boldness to stand against the enemy who is trying to prevent the good news of the gospel from going forward into your schools, going forward into your places of work, going forward into your family. And there is an entire society that is being changed by the gospel because people prayed and declared boldly who Jesus was. If you are in this room, that means someone has shared the gospel with you. And I want you to think back. Imagine if that person decided that day, maybe he'll just see my good works and ask me why I'm different. How many unbelievers have ever actually done that without then also the follow-up of, I'm a Christian and in the name of Jesus is why I do these things? My friends, I think it's really, really good to be different in your place of work. But if you're being different in your place of work, but you are not boldly proclaiming the gospel, then my friends, you need to pray for boldness. Your coworkers should know you're a Christian, not just because you do the right things in meetings and you attend Zoom calls on time. It should be because you are so unashamed of the gospel that they all know that that is your first love. I have a friend who in this room probably about 6 months ago came up to me and said, "Hey, Brandon, I'm really struggling with boldness." It's Xavier. Hi, Xavier. And he said, "Man, I'm really struggling with boldness. Will you pray that I will be bold?" So I followed up with him a few months later. I'm like, "Dude, how are you doing with boldness?" He's like, "Good, sir. I've been able to share with my entire platoon that I know Jesus." And we have had people from Fort Carson, he's a Fort Carson soldier, who have come and visited our church because of the boldness of Xavier. And when we talk about that prayer for boldness, there is a God who is in heaven, who in Romans chapter 8 tells us that if you are in Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells in you, and that is the same power that rose Jesus Christ from the grave. And if you're thinking to yourself, "Oh, Brandon, it's so different. Like, this is my job. This is my livelihood for those kids. It's different. They have an easier time being bold in their schools." Are you kidding me? I got to go see on Monday night, I mentioned the passing out of Bibles. That's one of the things that they do. So last year, they were told at Pine Creek that they were not allowed to hand out Bibles on campus, which is legally untrue. And we were able to fight that this year. We just didn't have time last year. And so they set up a booth by a gas station near Pine Creek, and they were able to hand out, I think it was like 200 Bibles last year, something crazy like that. And then this year, they wanted to hand out these Bibles. So Monday night, we show up at Pine Creek, we're ready. They were able to do it right outside of the front door, and the Bibles were late. And so there was some discouragement. And in that discouragement, it was, "Oh, we had this plan and then it didn't go according to plan." So we gathered together and we said, "You know what? Hey, we have the Bibles now. Let's come back on Wednesday. But for now, let's go and share and invite anyone else who's here if they want a Bible." And some of the things that were able to happen because of that change that was unbeknownst to us, on Monday, there was a young man who was approached who is a certifiable genius. Like, this is one of those people that has a photographic memory that's able to read just like, pew, 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 you know, I can't do that. He just is able to read at an unbelievable level. He was approached on Monday night in our discouragement. He told us 2 days later at the outreach, okay, he sat down for 6 hours on Monday, 6 hours on Tuesday, and read the Bible. In that 12-hour period, because someone said, have you read a Bible? And he went, no, but I'm curious and I want to learn. He read the entire Old Testament in that 12-hour period and the Gospels. And he came to the outreach and heard the gospel presented by one of his peers. Well, then we got to go back on Wednesday. And when we went back on Wednesday, someone had the idea, hey, what if we had signs that said free Bibles? Here you have these students, and these two girls in particular, that are standing outside of the front doors of their school where all of their peers are about to walk out these doors, and they are holding up signs saying free Bibles, declaring to everyone in their life that they believe that this is something that will change their life. And again, on Wednesday, we were able to hand out over 150 Bibles just because people came up to the sign and asked for Bibles. What we didn't know about the Bible handout is other ways that God worked. Again, a year ago, when we were handing out Bibles at the corner, the street corner of the gas station, there was a young girl named Sophia who comes up to Mackenzie and goes, "Well, I didn't know there were other Christians in my school. How can I be involved?" Well, now she's co-president of this club where they get to meet weekly and be a light for their school. Something we found out on Wednesday, just heard this story. There's another young girl named Faith who's on the docket to become the president of the club at Pine Creek, who last year was going through a really, really hard time. She was doubting, she was struggling in her faith, and she just told us on Wednesday, "Yeah, I was really struggling last year, and I saw you guys handing out Bibles last year, and that really convicted me." And then because of that, that is part of her story on how God worked in her life to bring her back to a right relationship with God, where she is now, again, serving to be bold with the gospel for her peers. Where some of these girls were literally on Wednesday holding up these free Bible signs as people drove by with the last lingering people and like throwing Bibles into car windows with permission. Just like, take this. No. That is not an effective way of giving out Bibles. I will. But that's because we came together and this whole time we have prayed for boldness. You see, there is a God in heaven who by the power of his spirit has equipped his people. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, you are one of his people. You have been equipped by the power of his spirit. And if you are equipped by the power of the spirit, the same spirit that gave Peter and John boldness, the same spirit that is giving people in our church boldness to stand against the institutions that are antagonistic to the gospel in their world, and they are willing to boldly proclaim in the name of Jesus why they have a life, hope, and peace, we all should pray for that boldness. Because the real prayer after he talks about, and why are we surprised, Christians, when there's opposition? Are we so arrogant as to think that the enemy is not going to try to stop what God is doing in our world? My friends, wherever the Spirit is moving, the enemy is also trying to stand against it. A few minutes ago, we just cheered. Oh, wow, we could be living through a next great awakening. That's great. With all of them before has come intense, incredible, amazing opposition that God is bigger than. Why do the nations rage and the enemies plot in vain? They've been doing it since the time of David when he wrote Psalm 2. And they've been doing it since the time of Peter and John. And I promise you, they will continue. There will be opposition. And in the face of that opposition, I don't think it's wrong at all. Lord, I pray that you would protect my job. Lord, I pray that you would protect me. I don't think it's sinful to pray those things. However, the example that we have from people who experienced something far worse was, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. There is a boldness that we are able to have from the power of the Holy Spirit to declare the good news of the gospel that has saved you if you are in Christ, with everyone who we meet. An unashamed declaration of truth. My friends, we live in a world that is desperate for the hope and healing that only Jesus can offer. And I'm going to invite you and encourage you to pray for boldness, to be the messenger that sends that message. It is not just amongst people 25 and down where there is a recognition of the need for the gospel. You talk statistics and Gallup polls. Everyone thought, oh, no, the Christian world is dying in the United States. Because a few years ago, my peers, Danny's peers, millennials, there was a thing called deconstruction. And it seemed like there were a lot of Christians that were leaving the faith. And everyone was freaking out as if the Holy Spirit couldn't fix that. Well, my friends, that's changed. It's not just people 25 down. It is all those people that deconstructed where in droves they are returning to the faith in Jesus Christ. And that is because of the prayer and boldness of his people. God has always done healing, of spiritual healing and the works of miracles through the boldness of his people being willing to go. My friend Faith declared to us, and they end their prayer by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your servant Jesus. My friends, I have a friend named Faith who a year ago was far from Christ. She was struggling. She was doubting in her faith. And because of the boldness of McKinsey being willing to hand out Bibles to her peers, the Holy Spirit used that to convict her. And now she is moving forward in boldness and faith. And not only that, but then we also have student leaders who prayerfully in this. It's amazing. Okay. So one of the blessings of being able to work with others is that we get to see, oh, wow, it's kind of a lot of the schools are dealing with some of this opposition. And so the Pine Creek Club, we were just praying for TCA and Liberty, specifically Liberty, as they're just, this opposition is great. And as we're praying for them, one of them had the idea, what if we did a joint worship night after Outreach Week? And so on Friday night, I got to share with you as an announcement a couple weeks ago, we had the student-led worship team, student-led electrical people, student-led devotional, student-led MC that all got to gather together and in boldness celebrate what God had done this week. My friends, this past week, hundreds of students in our community heard the gospel. And there was fruit. We don't always get to see the fruit, but sometimes we do get to see the fruit. And in the case of the story of Faith, God healed her by the boldness of his servants. Because God is working in our world in a way that you just have no idea until you step into being bold. But not only that, but I had the TCA kids came over to my house yesterday. They do follow-ups. These guys are on it. So they do a response card that they gather information. And on the response card, I've chosen to follow Jesus for the first time. I know Jesus, but I'm coming back, or, you know, I'm faithfully following after Jesus. And one of these students is calling, and all of a sudden I just hear, oh, you go to Vista Grande. I'm like, oh, really? Turns out there's this girl who just 3 weeks ago was invited to our church by someone who was invited by someone else. This girl does not go to a family that knows Jesus. This girl was invited to a different youth group and felt like there was some church hurt, felt like she wasn't received well, and that's hard. And sometimes that does happen. But then in boldness, this girl who goes to our youth group invited this friend to our church. And then on the phone with someone who doesn't even go to our church but is involved with the phone call is declaring to her that God used that. And that's why on her response card, she marked, I have decided to follow Jesus for the first time. And now she boldly went to her dad and said, hey, dad, can you buy me highlighters and a notebook so I can take notes in my Bible? Apparently he was just like, sure. Because to a world that doesn't know Jesus, that's weird. But here are these young people that are becoming bold for the gospel, not because there's anything special about them outside of the fact that they have chosen to follow the Holy Spirit's call in their life, as they have been called and equipped by the Holy Spirit, that is the same Spirit that empowered Peter and Paul, that is the same Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the grave, that is the same Spirit that lives in you. And I'm just excited that just like Luke got to share the story about how Peter and Paul got to move forward in boldness, I get to share with you how God is changing our city because there are students that are willing to be bold in their schools for the gospel. And God is bringing healing to our society in a way that we would not believe. God is working in our community, in our world, in a way that is dramatic and powerful. And God always has chosen to reach the lost because of the boldness of his people. So not only is there the need for boldness, which is clear and evident in our lives, and I only expect, I don't know this for sure, but I only expect in our society that opposition is going to grow stronger. And it's amazing the opposition that some of our students are facing, again, even from their parents, even from some of their peers. My friends, one of the administrators at Liberty High School goes to a church here in Colorado Springs. It just blows my mind where some of this opposition is coming from. But as God is working in these things, as the prayer is powerful, as we are praying for boldness, and as God is working, you know, forgive me, I may have already shared this with you guys, and I'm sorry because I know I did in first service. Did I already share with you what happened with Liberty? No one's saying, okay, good. So Liberty High School, they've been dealing with this opposition this whole time, and it is intense. It is powerful. They are attacking teachers. They are attacking these kids, and we didn't know what was going to happen. We were hoping we'd be able to have the outreach at Liberty this week, but we didn't know. But then on Wednesday, we got word that they have approved for there to be an outreach this week at Liberty in their school at lunch. And I get to go and be there and pray. Yeah, that's incredible. Because we serve a God who answers prayers. He doesn't always answer prayers in the way that we want them to be answered. But my friends, he is always working and he is always moving. And even though Peter and John didn't pray for protection, they didn't get that, actually. Both of them were horrifically attacked for the rest of their lives. Church history would tell us that Peter actually got crucified upside down because he didn't want to be crucified the same as Jesus. History would tell us that John got thrown into a pot of boiling oil and survived. Like, that's worse. I'd rather take me now, you know? They were continued to be attacked, but you know what they always had? Boldness. And the entire world has been impacted by the gospel because of a few Palestinian Jews who were willing to move forward in boldness and in prayer. And then this is how God works. This is how God worked in their time. And my friends, we are seeing this is how he works in our time. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. My friends, God may not shake our building, but he's shaking our city. And we get to see it happening as people in our church are stepping out in boldness. And my prayer for us as a church is that that example from our 15 and 16 year olds would be convicting for the rest of us, that we would step out in faith and be bold for the gospel, because God is going to reach our city whether we choose to step out in boldness or not. Because there will be those that take that call to step out in boldness and hold up the sign that says, I am a follower of Jesus. I can show you how to do it too. So that's one of the other things that I encourage my students to do in youth group, is we actually not only pray broadly for boldness, but we do something what's called the Pray 5 Challenge. And specifically, the goal is that you would have 5 friends that you're praying for that don't know Jesus. And every Wednesday night, I encourage them to pray for one person by name they're praying for that doesn't know Jesus. And the first prayer is, Lord, I pray that someone would share the gospel with them. And then the second prayer is, Lord, give me boldness to be the person that shares the gospel with them. Well, just another, again, this week has just been absolutely incredible. I have a friend who's been on my Prayer 5 list for like 10 years. And this friend of mine I've known since 5th grade. He's one of my best friends growing up. And post-high school, very much so, fell into kind of that deconstructionist, I don't believe this really anymore, and walked away from the faith. And I have been diligently, fervently praying for my friend. And he's a teacher at one of the schools that I got to be at. And I ran into him. And out of the blue, he just goes, oh, hey, Brandon, I just wanted to let you know I've been faithfully going to church. So I don't know. I don't know if he's now following diligently after Jesus. What I do know is the Holy Spirit is working. And what I do know is that even when Jesus prayed over Jerusalem and he wept over Jerusalem, there is a care and concern that God has for the lost. And when the Holy Spirit came and shook their building, God gave them boldness to be the method in which they heard the good news. My friends, God is calling you to shake your world with the boldness of what Jesus Christ has done for you. And it may result in some challenges. I'm not going to promise you're not going to get boiled in oil. I can't make that promise. There might be some heat. There might be some pressure. There might be some challenges. But what I promise you is that the gospel is worth it. And we, like Paul, can come back with the statement that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. So I'm going to challenge you right now, everyone in this room, have those people that you know in your mind. And we're going to close in prayer. And I'm going to pray for all of us in this room to have boldness. And I'm going to encourage you to pray for the boldness to tell that person in your life about the good news of Jesus Christ. Because sometimes they need to be prayed for a long time. But don't grow weary in prayer.